Well, I thank you for the compliment, Marty. I wouldn't consider myself an expert, but I've learned a few things over the years that I pass on to these young catching prospects. And I think the real art to being a good catcher is it's all about attitude. Running from the dugout out behind a plate, how you present yourself to the rest of your teammate. It's, for me, a high-energy position, a leadership position, and you have to earn that leadership. Nobody just gives that to you. The major league players don't just respect you because you showed up. You earn that respect, and I think you do that in hard work, how you go about your business, and the relationship you develop with the pitching staff, and you have to be halfway intelligent to develop a good relationship with that.
Well, I was thinking as you said that, because you've managed pitchers and catchers and position players, the mental side of a catcher probably is a little different than the other position players.
Yeah, you have a game plan. You have an offensive game plan, a pitching game plan, and if you can't keep the flow of the game and the game plan going as far as pitcher strength, batting matchups, minimizing pitch count, understanding where you're at with your bullpen, and I tell you what, Buster Posey, not just because he was Rookie of the Year, but the most impressive thing about that kid was when he went into the World Series to watch his tempo with the starters and understanding pitch selection and game plan. When you tell you coach the kid one time, he's got it. And his just the ability to feel what the hitter's trying to do as a catcher and having the pitchers trust that instinct is really an art, the word you're using, an art form.
That's the mental side of it. Let's talk a little bit of the technical side. How do you give signs? How does a catcher learn how to give a sign so no one can pick it off?
Well, there's a technique to that. That's a good question. It's about, and we look for that. As coaches down the lines, you'll look inside catcher's knees if they're not keeping their knees close. And you have a technique of folding your glove down over the lead shin guard on your left side to keep that third base coach from peeking in there. And because they have what's called flash signals to the runners of, okay, I can see this. Let's go on the breaking ball if I do this. And, being in a balanced position, I tell my kids at the baseball school back in Oregon when they're 12 years old, I want you to watch TV sitting down on your knees. So it's kind of like riding a skateboard. When you first do it, it's very uncomfortable, your balance isn't very good, and you get tired quickly. But as soon as you learn to control your balance, it's actually fairly easy, and you don't fatigue yourself just trying to stay in a position to give signals.
Well, it was tremendous back in the day. The third base coaches, Charlie Dressen and Leo DeRocher, people like that, they made an art form of picking off signs.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll give you, for instance, when we used to go and play the Astros, Tony Eusebio was a catcher that would set his butt up really high on off-speed pitches. Or they'd forget to give a target on an off-speed pitch on a curveball because they're more worried about blocking it. So as a base runner, sometimes just knowing that allows you to steal a breaking ball counts and take the extra base. Some hitters like to be signaled what pitch is coming, whether it be a whistle, a name, a number, or maybe a hand signal from a base runner at second base. Not all hitters like that. They just like location a little bit more. But anytime you have extra information, it's always an advantage. And if you have a tell or a signal as a catcher that you do something and give it away too early, the other team sometimes takes advantage of that.
Interesting talking with Steve Decker here on the art of catching. How about giving the target? Now, when I grew up, that target was wide open. Boy, that glove would be right up there. I don't know if I see that all the time anymore. Chris Stewart does it for the Giants.
Yeah, it all depends how good the guy's hands is. As we talk about pulling the fingers back and giving a full face target of the glove. And some guys will drop that fingers down in the front and if they have good hands, they can get back to a position to catch late movement, a power sinker, maybe a late slider. But we call what's called a neutral position or a choke position with our hands. So when we give a full face target, we actually shift our hand or roll it to the left a little bit to what's called a choke position. And if he was going to reach up and choke somebody, that's called a neutral glove position. So that power sinker down and in, the elbow can stay below the glove, and your hand reacts correctly to catch that power sinker, rather than the thumb going down, the elbow lifting and jamming your thumb. And going, oh my God, my thumb hurts. When you first catch a guy and you get to the big leagues that has a true power sinker. So actually, glove position and target position is very important stuff.
What about, we'll end it with this on the art of catching, fielding a bunt with the glove, with the hand, how do you know what to do?
For me, it's the length of the grass. If you have longer grass, you push the ball into the ground with your hand to make sure you come up with a good grip. You can use the glove as a rake with tighter grass, with turf, and you kind of use it as a scooper. We call it a pooper scooper. But I think the main thing when you're picking up a bunt is to keep your butt down, pick the ball up first. Many guys can even do it with their glove and they're talented enough, but they get in such a big hurry to throw the ball is they don't basically catch the ball before they throw it. So there's different techniques. There are no absolutes, Marty. Everybody does things a little bit different. But the bottom line is to make sure you pick the ball up, move your feet, and throw the ball through your target.
And who's telling you where to throw the ball on a bunt? Let's say whether they go to third on a bunt or just concede or go to first.
What we teach our young kids is the grass tells you. If I can field the ball in the dirt, I got a chance to go to second base. If I have to run out onto the grass, one of my biggest pet peeves is when I watch coaches throw the ball way out into the grass and then a kid throws the ball to second base. Well, unless it's the slowest runner in baseball, you're not going to have a chance to get him. Now, I do what's called a pop quiz. I'll throw the ball up in the air, and I'll throw it out there, and then they'll go to first base, and I'll say, what does the base runner do when he sees the ball popped up? Well, they freeze. So that would be the only other situation where you might read the ball and go to second base if the ball makes it to the grass is on a pop-up bunt. But the communication is always done for me. It's either you're on the dirt, you got a chance. If you're in the grass, you better go to first base and get an out.
Wow. Well, I learned something there. You are an expert. Oh, Steve Decker, nice to have you. Seriously, I like it.
All right. Well, I just learned from people that taught me.
Very good. More coming up on KNBR 680, the sports leader.